is a concentration of discussion in the Rush and other Rishonim, beginning in the Masechta, a particular Rush, in terms of different aspects of Hilchos Brachos as they interact specifically with Shechita, but then it sheds light on larger Archaim issues as well. And there's more to come, but so far we've been looking at the Rush and Siman Gimel here in the first parak of Chulin, and the issues that he raises in terms of the question the Mishnah opens, who Meshecht? The Mishnah identified Cheirishotu V'Katan specifically as individuals who we would advocate that they not Shecht. What the din is B'Dievet, so the Mishnah goes on to talk about. The never Kasha B'Dievet. But certainly Chathil, we would never allow Cheirishotu V'Katan, that's what it sounds like. We would not advocate Cheirishotu V'Katan Shechting. And the Rush had raised the issue based on the Rambam. Well, Cheresh, Mishnah tells in Shumas is Dafke Einu Medav Einu Shomea. How about if he's only an Elam or only a Cheresh Hamadav Einu Shomea? The Rush we saw discussed whether the Rush believed that the Rambam differentiates between those two cases. And the Rush believes that the Rambam, again, we saw Machlokes Rush Beis Yosef, Rush and Kesef Mishnah. How to read the Rambam? Does the Rambam think there's an element of Bidyeved that comes to Cheresh Hamadaber or not? But the Rambam is clear that the Elaim is the Chatkila, the Rush quotes him, but it's really very clear the Rambam. The Hagar Zarshu called Arzarua, who disagreed with the Rambam on that. Even the Jew who can hear but cannot speak, the Elaim or the Nishtate, Arzurah thinks he really should not be shechting, unlike the Rambam, which says Torah l'chatchila. And what seems to be driving it is the bracha issue. Even though he has access to Shomei Ka'una, he could listen to the bracha. Someone else can make the bracha on his behalf. So we had seen that the Arzurah seemed to raise two issues. Number one, the Arzurah is of the opinion that I cannot be motzi him with the bracha unless I am presently chayiv in the bracha as well. That's a particular approach to mechuyiv bedavar and yatsa motzi, that I need to be presently chayiv right now in that mitzvah in order to be motzi you. And that's perhaps consistent with Rashi. And number two, he said, and if you have someone who also is chayiv, he's also shechting, two shoftim in the shlachta, side by side. One can speak, the other one can't. Certainly, the one Reuben and Shimon are both shoftim. Each one is about to shecht an animal or a bird. It happens to be that Shimon cannot speak. But they're both planning to shecht. So Reuben is certainly mechuyev in the bracha of shechita, and therefore mechuyev b'davar, he should be able to be motzi Shimon. And yet I was said, even there I'm not so sure. Even there I'm not so sure. Even if the other fellow talkers of Mechuyev Adavar, he too is about to shach. But who says that the Elaim can be Yotze, the Shamei Ka'ona, after all, he couldn't do it on his own? Raises we discussed last week, seems to be raising an issue of Kol Hashenu Roi Labila, Bila Ma'akevas. If I can't do it, if I can't do the Chathilu way, then all of a sudden, it's not going to work even Vidyevet. To understand, and that we left as sort of a mystery. To understand that more, We're moving to the world of Shomei Ka'una in general. If you think what the Arzur is bringing us to, Nasi Geshevna points out, if we explore the world of Shomei Ka'una, which is a big, beautiful sugya, and try to understand what makes it tick, then we may be able to make sense of what's driving this Machlokas Rambam and Arzur here in the Rosh and Agos Ashri, Chulin Perak Aleph, Simen Gimel. And the sugya begins with a story. One way to start the sugya is with a story. Let's take that way. Rav Bitzal HaKohen Mivilna was a brilliant Talmud Chacham, lived in the 1800s. He and his brother Rav Shlomo HaKohen Mivilna both lived in Vilna, and both were actually involved or engaged by the Vilna printers in the latter part of the 1800s. The Rum family were the ones who printed what we call the Vilna Shas. And there are many, many more achron in the back in the Vilna Shas than any of the previous editions. They gathered a lot of material, including from contemporary Talmid Chachamim, among them both brothers, have ha'aras in the back of the Gemara, and both were, they were also hired apparently by the Vilna printers to proofread, check the galley, to make sure the Gemara Shittaisis were accurate. Rav Shechter tells a story that apparently one or maybe both of these brothers would proofread Baal Peh. Usually when you proofread, you know, you have the galleys of the Sefer, so you compare it, like you have the previous edition, you can be looking back and forth and seeing if all the words line up, all the words are the same. Apparently these brothers, they knew Gemara Shittaisis so well Baal Peh, that they didn't have to look back and forth, they just took the galleys of the new printing, and looked and noticed every time there was a mistake. Let that sink in for a moment. Apparently, that's also why every once in a long while there'd be Litvish mistakes. They're Litvaks, they're from Vilna. So Litvaks tend to pronounce the Shin and Sin, or Shin and Sam in the same ways. Every once in a long while, there'll be mistakes that only a Litvak would not have caught. And he wasn't comparing to anything else, just like reading out loud, it sounded right, because it didn't necessarily differentiate between a Sh and a S, because Litvaks say not Moshe or Mesha, but Mesa. Mesa Rabbeinu. The Greek Kabbalists in the Miska. They have their own, turn a Shin into an S, so have their own unique mistakes that can creep in. So those are these brothers, Shlomo HaKohen, Betzalel HaKohen, both of them. So Betzalel HaKohen wrote a Sefer, I think it's supposed to be the first of many, before the Rishis Bikurim. It was supposed to be the first of his farm. I don't know if he ever had this first to publish other farm. In Rishis Bikurim, so he tells that he lived in Vilna, but he once traveled to Italy. This is when we tell the story of the Vilna Gaonites. The Gemara said he would have traveled to Italy if Rav Paul were still alive. So a century later, Rav Paul HaKohen, obviously Rav Paul was not in Italy, but Rav Paul HaKohen did travel to Italy. I mean, particularly he was in the city of Trieste. He came to shul in the morning, and they told him, "Oh, you're a chashev rav, you want to be mechabed you with duchen." He wasn't really sure what they meant. Mechabed me with duchen. He understood. He comes from an Ashkenazi community. He doesn't usually get the duchen outside of Yom Tov. So first, I think he may have thought, like, here you have the opportunity to join the rest of the kohanim in fulfilling the mitzvah of Birkat Kohanim every single day. But then he realized what they meant, because when everyone got up, the whole kohen went to wash their hands, and they go up to the front of the Aron Kodesh, and they talis them over their hands, and no one said a word. Because they were all Yotze Shomea Kaona with his duchen. They all stood there, proper position, with their hands facing the call, with their hands out, silent. And Ritzal HaKohen was the only one who was actually saying the words of duchen. They were all being Yotze. So he writes the initials because he was taken back, obviously, at first. But then he started to think, Taka, why is this so strange? You Shomea Kaona for so many other mitzvahs. You Shomea Kaona for Mikra Megillah, you Shomea Kaona for Kiddush. Why not have Shemaiah come for a bigger stone? And they say that he was thinking about some more. Not only, why can't you? They said that's Pshat Mishnah. A Mishnah that up until that point, many Mefarshim had been very, very troubled by. A Mishnah that you saw. And the Mishnah says in the fourth parrot of the Sefer Megillah, the Dal Mishnah, what the Mishnah talked about? What prizes do we give to the fellow who takes Mafti? Chazal were so successful that we don't understand the problem. We think of Maftir as a big covet. People want Maftir. That's because Chazal accomplished what they were trying to accomplish, which is to remove the stigma of Maftir. So fundamentally, you're calling seven Jews up on a Shabbos morning to lane from the Sefer Torah, and then of eighth Jew to lane from Navi. See, he's very insulted. What am I, chopped liver? They all get Chashim, the lane from the Torah, and I only get the lane from Navi?
Why didn't they just give it to the
seventh guy? So one of the things they did, I'm not sure, it's a good question. One thing they did was they created an eighth aliyah, the aliyah of Maftir. Really means, Maftir is the one who is saying Haftarah. Maftir really means the one who's saying Haftarah. So we give him some lane from Chumash also.
Oh, yeah,
that's one of the zechuyos that we give him to make him feel better. Now, Bizman Azez, you know, many shuls have the practice that the Maftir is the default person for Musaf. So the Mishnah says, B'tkuvas Chazal, the Maftir was the default person for Shachas. And the Mishnah says, according to the Torah, sorry, a Maftir Banavi, who purrs al Shmav, who owns an Anteva. He should be the Chazal both for Bikas Kriyashma and for Shmon Esre. But who knows Seyas Kapha? And he, Duchens. The Mepharshim, what do we, Duchens. Kohen or Zaka. You want to pay the take $10,000 to become a Kohen because your father's a Kohen? What is this? If you're a Kohen, you're not a Kohen. If you're a Kohen, you get to Dukhin without being off there. If you're not a Kohen, you may not. You know, it's an Aveira for a non-Kohen to be known as Kohen. So we don't know what's going on. So you took a look, you saw some of the Achrayim work on it. The Tosafot is a difficult approach. It doesn't really, it really just means, because the Mishnah later on says if he's a katan, there are certain things he cannot do. That's really what we're raising. We said, even if he's a mafia and he's a kohen, if he's a katan, it's a difficult, excuse me, difficult answer. So it gives an answer. The Tosafot says, well, I was only he's a kohen. Ech ha'mi ha'kohan ha'maskil. Tosafot writes in the Yom. One of the Kohanim starts and everyone else is going to follow.
Maybe one of those guys says Kohanim.
That would be interesting. That would fit with the rest of the Mishnah that he's a chazan. The problem is they would probably wouldn't call it who knows his kapha. Who knows his kapha means he raises his hand. He actually doesn't. That is universally the way Messias Kabbalah is used, is that the Kohen's role. It would have been a reasonable source to give him. Except that, of course, that if he's the chazan for Chazar Sashat, then he's not the one to call Kohen. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Kibbeh works on it. Oh, it's difficult. Everyone's struggling. It's a difficult Mishnah. So Bitzal of Vilna said, he was thinking about the practice in Trieste. He was thinking, not only does he not see what's wrong with it, l'chart v'feirish a Mishnah. Who knows, say it's kapot. That's pshat. Of course, if you're not a Kohen, you're not going to get that. But he says, pashat pshat, if you're a Kohen, then you're going to be the chazan for duchening, meaning you'll be the one to be motzi everyone else. He says, apparently, pashat pshat of the Mishnah, just like you see that for the Mishnah, that the common practice was often to have a different chazan for Shema Shmon Esrei, Poros al Shema and Oath Ne'ateva, if he's a mafkiz, he gets both. So you see there was also, apparently, common practice, there would be a chazan, one of the Kohenim, was a shliach tzibur for all the other kohanim for duchening. It's mostly everyone duchening. So if you're the mafkid and you happen to be a kohen, we'll give you that kibud as well. So that's what Bitzalel HaKohen says. Very, very. It's not only seems conceivable that one should be able to do shmei kohen for duchening. It's a chara parsha pshat mishnah. That's what he writes in the Rishis Bikur. The Beis HaLevi was. To put it mildly, was not happy with this suggestion of Itzal of Vilna. He apparently had respect for him, which is why he didn't name him. He said, Chachamecha. Chachamecha sounds at first like you don't respect him, somebody. If you respect him, you would say who it is. But as soon as you see how vigorously he attacks him, let's take a look. Well, the first time I'm going to say Yeshu, I say, oh, that man. We only want to say, he will not be named. But here, the Jews say, sometimes if someone's called his Chacham Echad, it means you don't want to give him the covet of Koyim. But here, you see, he wants to give him the covet of not attacking him by name. Because he's about to say, I think it's absolutely absurd. He says, he is top of Chacham. So Mishum Kavoda, I'm not going to say who he is, because this one thing, he may have said a thousand other, correct insights, but this one thing that he said, I think it's absolutely wrong. Yeah.
According to
the Talmud
Torah, what would be
pride
associated with all the other non-Kohen?
You still get to be the Chazan for Shema Shmon Esrei. If you're the Kohen, you can be the Chazan for Shema Shmon Esrei and Dukhin. And the Mishum lists three things. Okay, so one of them is only, look, if for whatever reason he's unable to say Shema, Mishnah thought that people may have been able to do the Chazan for Shema either. But if it's available, not for you. We give this as a prize, and maybe I feel better. That's what I was saying before. The fact that nowadays people tend to think of Maftir as a big kibud demonstrates that Chazal succeeded. They succeeded in changing the mentality and divesting, stripping a Maftir of any sort of stigma. And now we come, thank you, to the Beis HaLevi. Because the lady says, Mashamachal Chamecha is Birkas Kohanim. The Kohen Hecha Yachalom Birkas Kohanim. Ushari HaKohanim Yishmu V'Shomei HaKohanim. So one Chacham said this. And he was a fellow Lutzbach. There's a lady who was in, you should just know as an aside, you might notice on top of this page it says L'Chanaka. He wanted to, doesn't have much to do with Chanaka. A word about context. We have from Beis HaLevi, the Sefer of Shas and Shuvas. Big, heavy, three volumes, often published now because it's a single volume. The Halakha Maisa, and also Beiyuri Sugyas, all over Shas. And then we have a Sefer by the Beis HaLevi, on Chumash. We have a Brachos and Shmos. Then they publish it in between Brachos and Shmos. There's a section of Chanukah. He writes at the beginning, very modestly, he says, you know, it's a long saying in his Minhag Yeshivas, that over the course of Chanukah, the Eilam puts aside the regular Masechta Lich of Chanukah time, and you learn the three and a half Dapim, beginning of second Parak of Shabbos, and Bavim Lichid, the deal with Chanukah. He said, I also figured I'll follow the Minhag of the Yeshivas. So I wrote that a couple of hours as I was learning. And then you have like 20 or 30 pages. Brilliant tradition. So that section appears, the Chanukah section, the traditional Chanukah are in between Brachos and Shmos for obvious reasons. Seasonally appropriate. And then, in the old printings, this is a new printing, the old printings, there was an empty page, just the way the layout was. So, back in the old days, you don't appreciate this degree of austerity. Shlola hosted Niyarach in while leave empty paper, was going to waste good paper. So oftentimes the Mechaber of the Sefer printed with contact the author of the Sefer, said, look, the way the page layout worked out, I have extra space, so give me an average shtickle tire, I'll just stick it at the end. So Beis HaLevi said, Shlola hosted Niyarach in, he gave four shtickle tire, four paragraphs on one page, 1, 2, 3, 4. Excuse me. The new printings you can't even tell because the layout is totally different. But this was, I think, the first piece. If I remember correctly. Yes, the first piece. He says, oh, you want more Shikon Torah? Well, you know, I was looking to say for Rishis Bikurim. Very difficult. So he goes on to say, look, it works well in Mishnah Megillah. But what's the problem? He says, it's lovely, it's Yashim Mishnah Gil, but basically he says, but it can't be true. Why? Why can't it be true?
Because he can't be used to other people.
There's a din of the Qur'an.
What does he say? He says, tells me a whole series of Hebrew words, the words, Amor Lahem, you saw the new word in Sota, Post of Arafos B'nai Israel, Amor Lahem. This is how you're going to give a bracha to the Jewish people. Say to them, the bracha tetra. The ground finds out, it seems like an overly dramatic pasuk. Kos of Arafel, this is how you're going to hear. You ain't told me. This is how you give the bracha. Just say, Kos of Arafel is going to Israel, you're going to have a Shemesh Rafa. That would work. What's with the Amor Lahem? Say it to them. So Gemara Darshan is a series of dinim about Birkas Kohanim from that terminology, Amor Lahem. One of the dinim is that it has to be Bekol Ram. Has to be allowed. Kohen, as you see, some Kohanim are machmer than this, some Kohanim are very machmer than this, but it has to be Kol Rav. So what's the base like you say? It has to be Kol Rav, and therefore
it can't be
Shemei Kohanim, because if it's Shemei Kohanim, so the good Ki'ilu, I said the same thing, but the Kol Rav is not going to carry over. The Kol Rav is not carried. Let's see what he says, and let's see how it's understood. Birkas Kohanim to Tzar Kol Rav. He says, Shomer Ka'oneh Shayach Rak B'Davar to Ein Tzar Kol Ella Amira L'Chuda. You just need to say the words. There's no particular quality of how you say the words. Just the words have to be said. Then Shomer Ka'oneh. God, Birkas Kohanim Tzar Kol Rav. Kohanim Omer L'Chaveiro. It's not just to say the word. That's to be allowed. As though if I was up front giving a drasha to the shul, So I wouldn't whisper it the same way I would say it. But if I'm speaking the entire room, I'm going to raise my voice. That's what I ought to do. Speaking the whole crowd, you're raising your voice. The Gemara says, "Amolam, you're dumbening. It has to be allowed." Ubezelo shayach shomei kahone. And then shomei is not going to help you. Why? Gary amiyaso shelah kolin hashomeiya in yishma ma'am hashomim. Because no one else hears you. In other words, it's no better. Why is Shomea Ka'ona any better than... Why is my listening to Bezalel and I'm totally silent any better than I'm actually saying myself quiet? I say myself, but not Bekol Rav. Tell you different, it's no good. I have to say it, and I have to say it Bekol Rav. If I say it myself, but quietly, not Yotze. So if you said it, and I'm quiet... Totally silent. Certainly, it's not going to be the call wrong.
But doesn't the
yeah question?
I have two questions. One, doesn't the chazan be saying the bracha in the first place before the Quran repeat it? Aren't they saying it Quran, not whispering it?
The chazan is just leading us. Like under the chuppah, some rabbis under the chuppah will say harayat word for word with the chazan, but the rabbi is not marrying the girl of the chazan.
Yeah, so who's making the bracha? Isn't he talking about, well, I don't get what's whispering. What's going on? I didn't get it, though.
Again, Kohanim go up to the front of the shul, and they duchen. Focus helps. Focus is useful. The Kohanim go up to the front of the shul, and they say the Asher Kishon Kedosh Shalom. And then correct, and the Chazan says word by word, Chazan says Yerecha, the Chazan says Yerecha. The Chazan says Hashem, the Chazan says Hashem. The Kiyum Birkas Kohanim is not when the Chazan says it, it's when the Kohanim say the words Yerecha, Hashem, Yerecha. And the Gemara says, in order to be Yotze, they have to say it to call Rav. If a Chazan is up there, but he's saying Birkas Kohanim very quietly, he's not Yotze. And the Chazan don't know that. If you're not willing or able to raise your voice, then you cannot be Yotze Yotze, Bracha Latav. So, Beis HaLevi said, you know, this notion of why not have Shemaya Ka'ona for a davening, here's why not. Because, yeah, okay, Kili, you said it. He said it, Kili, you were listening, Kili, you said it. It's very nice. And it's something like Kiddush, or just a mitzvah to say the Kiddush. No rules about, you have to say out loud, you have to say quietly, high pitch, low pitch. There are no rules about sound quality by Kiddush. No rules about sound quality by Megillah, just you have to say it. So I could say it myself, or I could listen to you say it, because the Ki'ilu I said it to. Beautiful. But, says Beis HaLevi, but davening, even if I said it myself, that's not enough. I have to say it in a particular voice, specifically a loud voice. If I myself said it, but not in a loud voice, I wasn't Yotze anything. So he says, if I myself say it, but not in a loud voice, I'm not Yotze. So if you said it, and I was listening, Ki'ilu I said it too. But I clearly wasn't loud. I wasn't making any noise at all. I wasn't for Kol Rav. So he says, ah, Shomei Ka'ona, it's Kilo. I said it maybe, but the additional quality is not going to carry over. And the magical bridge, that by listening to you, it's Kilo, I said it too, well, that carries over, so maybe seems to say, it is in the words. Kilo, I also said those words. But particular qualities, particular qualities like that I said it Bekol Rav, I'm not making any noise at all. You said it Bekol Rav. I listened to you, but that doesn't mean I said it Bekol Rav. That's what the Beis HaLevi appears to say. He clearly says, again, there is no such thing as Shomei Ka'ona Beduchni. Ritzal HaKori Mevilna is incorrect. The minig in the practice in Trieste, Beis HaLevi thinks was not appropriate. Not appropriate does not work. If it were to be true, it would be lovely. It would be Miyashe, the Mishnah Megillah. But it's not true. It's not true. Why? Because Kol Rav, you want to know how come davening is different than the Kiddush and Megillah? The answer is because Kol Rav doesn't carry over. Kilo, I said it, but not Kilo, I said it, but Kol Rav. Now, there's an obvious logical problem with the Beis HaLevi, with the examples that I just gave you. Yeah, what were you going to say?
I
How does he know Kolaram doesn't transfer over? And now, good question. Where did you get that assumption from? And moreover, I can prove for you, says the Chazon Ish in Arachayim Simon Chavtes, and Stipler, his brother-in-law, quotes him in Masechet Brachos, same thing. He says, I'll prove to you that additional qualities do carry over. How can I prove it to you? Because when you say Kiddush, you have to be holding the coast. The Mekadesh is holding the coast. You're not holding the coast. So that apparently carries over too. They said, okay, maybe you don't actually have to hold the coast. Maybe it's on the table's good enough. But how about Megillah? Mikra Megillah. If I say the entire Megillah with my eyes closed, I said the word myself. Mayotze? No. If I was looking to print in Chumash, and I read the entire Megillah beautifully, I pronounced all the Nakudas properly, even with all the truck, I read it out of print in Chumash. Mayotze?
No.
So why is it, Fred Kazanish, that if I go to shul and I have a printed chumash and I'm sitting in my seat or I'm standing, as the case may be, and the Baal Kriya is up there on the bima, he's leaning from a Megillah on cloth, and I listening to Yotze. But one second, if I read it myself from my printed chumash, I wouldn't be Yotze. So how come Yotze, when I'm listening to him? So the answer is, well, it sounds like it's not just he and I said the same words. But with this, well, reading with him would not going to make it any better if I have a printed chumash. That's going to make it worse, because I'm reading out of a printed chumash. So the Chazon Ish says, yeah, it sounds an awful lot like, not only why should the Beis Leib be right, but it sounds like he's wrong. When you have a Shabbat Kohen, it's not just those words carry over, it looks like it's the words with all additional characteristics. Mitol Haksav, Al Hakos, Kolaram, why not? And another Rai, even more to the point. Let's not just talk. There, you can give a teretz. You can get out of Kiddush. Maybe you actually not mochin. Maybe they didn't hold the coast. It's not that it's on the table. Someone has to hold the coast. Kriya mitol haksav. Maybe it also somehow explain that's different. Maybe mitol haksav is different than kolaram. Then he says, I have a lethal kasha. Because I can show you that there is Shamei Kahuna by Kolaram. What other mitzvah of Amira requires Kolaram? What other mitzvah of Amira has to Ishma? You can say Kolaram, you have to be Ishma, you have to be able to hear yourself. You have to say it loud. Which other mitzvah requires Kolaram? Bikurim, Mikur Bikurim, we had it Parshat Kisavo. Vanisa Velmarta Tana Shamakha. The guy says, why is it time to say Vanisa? I say Velmarta. The answer is Vanisa Velmarta means raise your voice, but call Ram. And yet, even though Mikra Bikurim requires call Ram, the Mishnah, you saw a Mishnah, which says something very surprising. There's a side point to the Mishnah which takes us back to what we talked about a couple minutes ago under the chuppah. Let's first look at the main part of the Mishnah. Parag Yemel Mishnah Zayim Masevet Bikurim. The third paragraph of Bikurim takes you through the whole story, takes you the whole process of Havas Bikurim in a narrative format. It tells it as a story. First you did this, and then they did that. And then, in doing that, it's one way of organizing all the Vedic. You have a couple places in Mishnah in different Masechtos where the Mishnah sort of shifts into like a narrative style, a storytelling mode, and presents Dinim in that way. You have it a lot, mostly in Kachem contexts, mostly in the Zamikdash connected contexts. You have Avos HaKippurim, you have it in Masechet Sota, several places. Here you have it in the third paragraph of Bikurim. The Mishnah talks about how they would gather in the secondary. You pick your Bikurim, then you put it in the basket, and then people gather together, they begin to travel together as a group, you have the Mishalayim, everyone's standing up for them, step by step by step, a lot of demon are being presented in this storytelling format, this narrative format. And then, the Mishnah says, in the Paragil, Mishnah Zayin, Mishnah told us to come to Beis HaMikdash, and now there's a mitzvah of present, given the Bikurim, and a mitzvah of Parshat Kisavo of Mikra Bikurim. There was Psukim, Rami Ovid Ava, Heri Mitzrayimah, a series of Psukim that the Mavius of Bikurim typically has to recite in conjunction with Avos Bikurim. And we said it's a mitzvah to say the Kol Ram. Barishona, so the previous Mishnah, Paragil Mishnah, I've spoken about, the Jew comes with his basket of Bikurim, the Sal of Bikurim, and he says the Mikra Bikurim. And the Mishnah says, well, who says Mikvikur? The Jews bring the Mikvikur, presumably. The Mishnah says, well, Barishona, that's what used to happen. It used to be that you bring Bikurim, you say the Mikra Bikurim. What if you have a Jew who doesn't know the Mikra Bikurim? Someone else would have to...
Makrinoso.
Makrinoso. Makrinoso. Yes, the question is, what does Makrinoso mean? So there's a debate whether Makrinoso... And then the Mishnah says it used to be that there was a clear differentiation between the haves and the have-nots. The Jews who knew enough to be able to say Mikra Bikurim on their own, they would get a prayer and they say Mikra Bikurim. And other Jews would either repeat after the Kohen or maybe even just be Yotzei with the Kohen. The Mishnah says, Nimnu Mila Avi. The Jews who were not as learned began to stop bringing Bikurim. It was very embarrassing. You have a whole line of farmers, and one after another is proudly, effortlessly saying, Mikra Bikurim. And I know it's my turn, it's going to be awkward. They're calling, help me say it, with me say it, for me. It's painful. It's embarrassing. That's problem number one. Problem number two is either he'll come again next year, he'll be embarrassed again, that's painful, or to avoid that pain, he won't come again next year. I think he's... Then we don't have to worry about saving him from Busha. We have to worry about it. He's not being the kind of Bikur. The Mishnah says, the Meir Takana, Shalol Avai, Shemisha, Eni Odeya, the Meir Takana, everyone gets Hakra. That, as an aside, the second half of the Mishnah is a source for several other places. We also have this idea of we'll be motzi everyone, so no one knows who knows who doesn't know. But I told to say that's why we've switched to having a Baal Kriya instead of each Olal HaTorah laying his own Aliyah. The Takanas, the original Takanas Chazal, B'tkufas HaTalmud, that's what Teimanim do on HaMazeh, is gain Aliyah means we are mechavim to come up to the Torah and read. You're supposed to lane. We call some people to lane. We have this artificial system that the Baitos described. We call someone to lane. He doesn't actually lane. Someone lanes for him. What's that all about? Shalom Levite, based on this Mishnah Bikurim. Shalom Levite should be Shane Deah. Every day. He's not going to come to Shul because he's worried. He's going to get pulled up from Aliyah. He'll have to be the guy who someone's helping him out. Someone's lane for him. Very awkward. They just say, universally, no one lanes your own Aliyah. That's why under Bach, under the Mishmorah, under the Chuppah, those are after each other comfortable reading. The Shmorah, that's why under the chuppah, the Rav, the Masar Kiddushin, says the bracha on behalf of Kassim's Kalim. Yola, the Rambam, that's the Kassim's bracha, Kirk's HaMitzvah. So how come the rabbi is saying the bracha is behalf? Well, let the Kassim say it himself. So what about Kiddushin? He's going to embarrass it under his own chuppah. Kassim beyond Kassim also is going to be nicker that he doesn't know how to say it. It's a complicated. He never said the bracha alone. One hopes he's getting married for the first time. He's never said that bracha before in his life. And it's a complicated bracha. We don't want to embarrass him. So just make a mukvug that the chassid never says it on his own. That's all rooted in the end of that Mishnah. Nimnu milahavi. Shalom levayeshes misha any of that. The question is the beginning of the Mishnah. Makrin. What do you mean makrin? Again, there's some debate. Does makrin mean that just that they would, I say Arami, you say Arami. I say Ovid, you say Ovid. I say Avi, you say Avi. Or the Kohen would just say Arami, Ovid, Avi, and the farmer would listen to the Yotzei. So if it means the latter, so then, wow. The B'feirish, it requires Kol Rav. So the Kohen's going to say it out loud, Shkoyach. But the farmer's not saying it at all. So apparently Kol Rav carries over. So the Chazon Ish and the Stipler developed this idea. No markers. Chazish is trying to develop this idea. You know what the issue is? Here's the issue. You know what's a wonderful machlokes between us and the Beis Halevi? We're really arguing on the following Chakira. What's pshat in Shamei Ka'one? The Gemara in Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara you saw in Masech HaSodah Daf Lamed Ches, derives from Psukim. But how does it work? Shamei Ka'one. I'm listening to Zohar I spoke. I'm like, the listener, or literally, Shomei HaKa'on, the listener is like the speaker. So what does that mean? So the Chazon Ish says, see, the Beis HaLevi thought that the Chiddush, the Beis of the Pasuk, in Masechta Pasukah, of Shomei HaKa'on, the Beis HaLevi says, Beis HaLevi must have thought that it's like another form of speaking. Beis HaLevi thought, like, you could be, you would say, you have mitzvahs of Amir, many mitzvahs that require recitation. Shema, Shmona, Esrei, Birkas HaMazon, Kiddush, Megillah, and so on and so forth. So usually there are rules for what's called speaking. You have to mash Me'la, Aznav, and so on and so forth. So here's a Kiddush, there's another form of speaking called listening. If I listen to you, and you have all the conditions, if you had mind to be Motzi me, I had a mind to be Yotzi, you're Mechuli Yidavar, it's also considered like I spoke. The hearing is like the speaking. So then, the hearing is like this. It's another form of speaking. I'm yotzei through my shmiya, okay, but I'm not listening out loud. I'm not listening big kol, nothing kol rav about my listening. It's not going to carry over. So it's like, ki'ilu, I said the words. By listening, it's ki'ilu, I said the words. Ki'ilu, I said the words. All you got are the words. Chazon Ish and the disciples say, yeah, but we assume that that's not Pshat Shemekah. Shemekah is not Kilo, I said the words. It's, I got your Kilo. Whatever you're fulfilling through speaking, so by listening to you, it's not Kilo, I also said it. It's that I'm plugged into you. If you have a mind to be Motzi, and I have a mind to be Otze, and I heard what you said, so I'm plugged into your same power source. So if you did an Amira, which was Mekayim, which had all the, with your Amira was Mekayim Mitzvah, I get that key into. You had to be Bekal Ram, had to be Tov Tzav, whatever it is. That's what the Chazon Ish and the Shaper prevent, that's the machlokas between us and the Beis HaLevi. How do you understand the equation, the magic of Shomei HaKa'on? It's like, Kilo, I also said it. A more limited way of looking at it. Like, yeah, I also said those words, in which case, who says all the other characteristics carry over? The Beis HaLevi's narrower version of Shomei HaKa'on that cannot work for Jokhani. Or, should I say, a bigger, more robust version of Shomei HaKa'on. I also did it myself talking, but I'm plugged into what you're talking accomplished. I'm plugged into your Kilo. That's what the Chazon Ish and the Chazon themselves understand. And if it's not just a Kilo, I also did an Amira, but I'm plugged into your Amira and the Kilo that comes from your Amira. Oh, so then I get everything. Now, we're going to go in three directions next time. Number one, this Chakira is more or less, we have to tweak it a little bit, probably Machlokes HaRishonim, in the Sukkah, Shavuot Mekas, number one. Number two, the Emek Bracha, we already had a chance to meet in the previous Sukkah, the Emek Bracha, and the C.S. Kapayim points out, he thinks that the Chazon Ish misunderstood what the Beis HaLevi was trying to say. The Beis HaLevi was saying something totally different. He was saying that Shomei HaKa'onah, but not because of the technicals, how Shomei HaKa'onah works. And number three, once we do appreciate this lumdus about Shomei HaKa'onah, and whether or not it's Machlokas Beis HaLevi versus Chazon Ish, it is a Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, Rav Imperio suggests movement number three, and that may help us understand the Machlokas Rambam and Or Zeruah about whether or not Shomei HaKa'onah can work for an Ilein HaShomea that is Eino Yochel Le'Gaber. We'll pick up that next time.